Yes, the line was dead suddenly. I don't know why. Sorry.
Well, anyway, we're glad to have you here again.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So, Gerard, you are in Munich in Germany.
Yes, right.
Well, you're very welcome to the show. Interesting subject, controversial. Not a lot. You are 50-50 probably here, think you're crazy, and the other 50% believe you. Or you know what I mean.
Yes.
Gerard, One Small Step is the name of your book. You've made some great research into this book, and you are convinced that the moon landing is all spin.
Yes, that's right.
Now, there are many people, scientists included, that say you're speaking through your bottom. What do you say about that?
Yes, you see, I did a lot of research, as I mentioned, as you mentioned before. I worked for years on a book, but also on a film on that, which was called Die Akte Apollo, The Files of Apollo. And this is my conclusion out of all that work. And I don't know, there are only very few people who worked that much on that moon landing problem. And so I think I also have the authority to have this opinion that the moon landing was faked.
Okay, One Small Step, of course, is the words uttered by, was it Armstrong?
Excuse me?
Was it Armstrong who said those words, One Small Step for Mankind?
Yes, I wished he would have said these words, but we examined the whole conversation from the moon, the live conversation, and we, and I mean a colleague of mine and me who did the film, The Akte Apollo, we never heard this sentence. This was spoken later and added to the moon conversations, to the conversations between the moon and Earth.
Well, you mentioned the moon there four times, but you, Gerard, don't believe it was the moon anyway.
No, it was not the moon. It were several hangars of NASA, and you can imagine this very well. I was also able to identify the sun there, for example, and this was not the sun, of course, in these hangars, but this was a light beam as it was used in the Second World War to identify hostile bomber planes in the sky.
Okay. Let's just go to the very beginning, and the beginning is Yuri Gagarin in Sputnik 1, I think it was called, the first man in space. Now, you say that the Americans were quite happy that this thing, by the Russians, were quite happy that the mission went ahead, although they knew, the Americans knew, as everybody else, that it was all just made up bunkum, and that they were happy with that because that gave them the excuse, or the opportunity, I should say, to start their own space projects, which they could use, hiding behind the excitement of men landing on the moons and playing soccer or golf on the moons. But the real task was is they wanted to put up weapons of mass destruction on the moon.
Yeah, no, this was not the purpose. There are no weapons of mass destruction on the moon, I don't think so. But you are right, the Gagarin thing was very welcomed in the U.S. To the public, it was sold as a real shock in the United States, you know. But for the whole space industry, it was a very welcomed thing because this was a legitimation to start an own manned moon program.
Why do the Russians claim over America that they brought Yuri Gagarin up into space? Or, I must ask you the question, Gerard, did the Russians bring Yuri Gagarin up into space in your point of view?
I don't think so. Because you must imagine the situation in the 60s of the last century. There were two large political blocks in the world, the East Bloc and the West Bloc. And these were two very large empires out of very different nations there, a dozen or two dozen nations in the Soviet Union and also in the West Bloc. And they had a common problem, and this problem was the identity of the people. They needed a national identity. They need a legitimation for their government. And so they started this very, very fascinating moon program and also manned space program in the Soviet Union.
One would imagine, I can't remember how long ago it is, but it's probably well over 40 years ago, one would imagine maybe 45 years ago, one would imagine at this stage, Gerard, quite a few people working on the space program would be a little upset to think that this whole thing was a load of lies, and would therefore not bother trusting their governments. I mean, it would just make nonsense of history if what you're saying is true.
Yes, I think so, but I think that that different things in history are just pure nonsense, you know. And I think they needed these programs to create a national identification for their people, and so they staged it. And furthermore, it was technically not possible to go to the moon with a manned spaceship at that time, and I don't think so that it is possible even in our times now.
Just to ask you, you are a prolific writer. You've written many books. Do you think your book is Operation 9/11? Just to paint a picture of you, do you think that it was a conspiracy as well?
Yes, you see, the history of mankind consists mainly of conspiracies from the times of Julius Caesar on, maybe even earlier. And so it's not a very special thing to think of a conspiracy here in the case of 9/11 or in the case of the moon landings. A conspiracy is defined as three people who are working on a secret project, and if you take this definition of conspiracy, you see that the world is covered with conspiracies, beginning with the kindergarten up to the government.
Gerard, have you ever faced a scientist who believes the moon landing to be true and possibly worked on it? Have you ever faced him face to face and argued the fact with him?
Yes, of course. For my film, The Acta Apollo, The Files of Apollo, I also went to the U.S. and we talked to veterans of the Apollo program, like Dr. Ernst Stuhlinger. He was the right hand of Werner von Braun. And yes, we were very surprised. We asked him, hey, how did you see the moon program? What did you do at that day? Had you a special insight on that day in July 1969 when Apollo 11 went to the moon and landed there? Had you a special insight? What can you tell us about the proofs? And he said, well, I just looked into the television and believed it like all the other people.
Now, you talked about your belief about conspiracy from childhood to adulthood, yes?
Excuse me?
You talked about conspiracies from childhood to adulthood.
Yes.
We have a call coming in. Do you mind taking a phone call?
No problem.
One second.
Yes.
Good afternoon, caller.
Good evening, Morris. Just listening to your conversation, I'll just try to understand. Can I just ask the gent one question?
Yeah, do ask him slowly, because he requests that you speak slowly. He's German, that he can understand you. Okay. It's Gerard on the line there.
Right. Do you believe, Gerard, that man has been to the moon at all?
No, I don't think so, because I think there are some very natural limits to go to the moon or to go wider into space than the low Earth orbit. Most of the people don't know that all the...
Can I just interrupt? I know all of this sort of stuff, but in according to everything, about 13 people are supposed to have walked on the moon. Now, you're saying then that they got away with this the first time and fooled us all, and they thought, well, we've got away with it once, we'll do another five or six trips up to the moon and fool the people another five or six times. I mean, it's ludicrous.
I agree with you, caller. Absolutely. Thank you, caller.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question then? You can answer that one about the 13 moon landings or six moon landings. Can I ask you a question, Gerard? You say you talk about conspiracy from childhood to adulthood, yes?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Holocaust was a conspiracy?
No, I don't think so. I also don't know what this has to do with the moon landing. Excuse me.
No, it has nothing to do with the moon. I'm just asking because I'm trying to sort of paint a picture of you, because you say 9/11, it was a conspiracy. Nothing to do with the moon landing either. I'm just asking an interesting question, that's all.
Okay.
Can we answer the question of that gentleman who just phoned up, who asked you, it was a fake, the first moon landing,
yes,
possibly the second moon landing. Why continue to fake?
because it was technical, not simply not possible to go there. And the reason for this is, for example, the radioactive space and the radioactive radiation in space, which is very dangerous. And you must imagine that since then, since 1972, no other mission went further than 400 kilometers from Earth. And the reason for that is the deadly or dangerous radiation. And the Apollo missions were the only exception in the whole spacefaring which allegedly went further than 400 kilometers above Earth.
You say also, I think, in your book that the Apollo mission that blew up, you say that was murder, and that this was a planned murder.
This is not my claim, but this is a claim from a very interesting person. And with this, I mean the son of one of the astronauts who died there in that accident in 1967, I think, January 1967. And the name of this son is Scott Grissom. His father was Virgil Grissom, a real space hero in the eyes of the Americans, who died on that day. And
okay, we'll come back to that because we got a call. Yes, caller.
How are you, sir?
How are you, sir?
I mean, it's a very interesting situation there. I did a show in Chicago and with the same sort of subject, but we had some fantastic scientists over there that told us that the absolute proof that they did indeed land on the moon was the fact that they put a reflector plate there which reflects back the X-rays that were sent up to the moon and back, the laser beams.
Okay.
So that they can actually measure the distance from here to the moon within millimeters.
Interesting.
How can they possibly do that if there's some kind of a conspiracy going on?
Interesting. Thank you, caller.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right, put that to you, Jared. Could you answer that? Why the reflector plates that are on the moon?
Yes. I think he's referring to the so-called laser reflector on the moon. It was alleged that the Apollo 11 astronauts brought with them a laser reflector, placed it on the moon, and that we are able to send a laser beam to that reflector, and then we are able to receive this reflection back on Earth, and this would be the proof for the moon landing. I also analyze this question. Here in Munich are some scientists who deal with this question also, and they explained me the whole process. And it comes to the following thing, that they send a laser beam to the moon with about 20 quadrillion photons, and what they get back is one single photon, and this not every time. You see, this I observe as not very significant.
Okay. Can we get back to the it was Apollo 13. Well, I can't remember which one it was that blew up.
Yeah.
You say that it was on the word of one man that you based this theory on.
You mean not Apollo 13, I think Apollo 1.
Apollo 1, sorry. Yes, you're right.
This was only a ground test in 1967, you know, and suddenly the whole spaceship went on fire and burned out. Yes, and Scott Grissom was the son of Virgil Grissom, one of the people aboard the spaceship, and he, many years later, went to the hangar and the container where the spaceship is stored by NASA, and examined the whole parts, the dismantled parts of that spaceship, and then he found proof for a deliberately set short circuit in the spaceship. And so he came to the conclusion that this was a deliberately set up and a deliberate act of sabotage.
Why?
Yeah, because this was on the switchboard of the spaceship, and there were several lines on the switchboard which were short-circuited by a little piece of metal which has nothing to do with the function of the switchboard.
But why did they kill his father?
This is interesting. I didn't found a
motive. Before you make a claim, there's got to be a motive.
I do not make the claim that Lanza murdered these people. I do make the claim that his son, the son of one of the victims, make the claim that his father was sabotaged. This is my claim.
It's a very interesting thing, Gerhard, and I'd like very much if we could... what I'd love to do is a fascinating subject, this. I'd love to have a double-headed interview with you. I'd like to set this up where we have, because I'm certainly far from an expert in any of this, where we have, and it'd be more balanced, where we have someone on the line who believes, a scientist who believes everything about the moon landing, and you on the other line putting your theory forward and to see if it stands up. Would you take that challenge?
Of course, why not?
Excellent. Well, what we'll do is we'll get the producer to speak to you next week sometime and see if we can line this up in the next coming weeks.
Because
I think what you say is a fascinating subject. The book is called One Small Step. You can order it on Amazon.co.uk. Gerhard, do you have a website?
Yes, it's 3W.Wisniewski. It's very difficult.
W-I-S-N-E-W-S-K-I.
.de.
W-I-S-N-E-W-S-K-I.
.de, yes.
DE for Germany. Okay, well, look, it's a fascinating subject. I was going to say I'm open-minded about it, but I'm not. I'm not on your side on this one, Gerhard, but I'm always willing to learn and willing to keep my ears open.
Okay.
So that's why I would like to have a scientist on to be able to, because I know we've had scientists on that actually, discredit things that you're saying. Not you personally, but there are many people out there who used to talk about this conspiracy, and I'd like to bring him on and you on as my special guests in the weeks to come.
Okay, fine.
Gerhard, thank you, and a very happy new year to you.
Thank you, Boris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.